A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, an epic battle between light and dark was fought.
We're your hosts, Shalom and Courtney, and we're calling all Jedi Junkies. From Tatooine to Jakku, to buckle up for this hyperdrive adventure through the galaxy!
You're listening to Jedi Junkies on Almost Nerdy.
We are going to spoil these movies, so make sure you've already watched them.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us, guys. Hope you guys had an awesome holiday.
Yeah, hopefully. And then another awesome holiday.
That's coming up. Are we in the holiday or we're going towards the holiday?
I feel like this time of year is stressful because there's so many things to do.
Right.
We have to eat food.
Right.
Buy presents.
Right.
Travel.
And
do lots of things.
Do a job. During, yeah. Like these first few like weird weeks.
And then you're still doing your job and then everybody's trying to get stuff in, so it's just like work's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Craziness. But we have Return of the Jedi to
Return
keep us going.
Of the Jedi to keep us focused.
On what really matters. Star Wars.
Star Wars and Rise of Skywalker is coming soon, so we're getting pumped.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like out of my mind. I'm trying to keep myself relaxed.
I was panicking a little bit because our office party, like our office holiday party, is on December 20th. And I was like, please, for the love of all that is good, tell me that we bought our tickets for the 19th and not the 20th. But we did. We bought them for the 19th. That's Thursday. We'll be seeing it Thursday.
We're all about the opening nights.
Yes, we are. Ooh. I don't know what I'm going to wear. I'm panicking.
Yeah. I actually thought about that today.
I was like, what should I wear? I kind of want to wear that Darth Vader shirt that we have.
Oh, the sweater?
It's actually Shalom's, but I like it.
I do not wear it anymore because Courtney's always wearing it.
Yeah. So. Shalom never gets the chance and it smells like perfume now. So.
It has been. I don't mind at all.
It's been reclaimed.
So I'm actually prepared with my 2-sentence summary today, ready to like just rock.
I'm ready.
No,
you're
like
you're definitely gonna wing it.
Like no winging it. No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not gonna wing it. I wanna say it.
Okay.
Okay. So Luke Skywalker, Leia Skywalker. You know, we'll find out later on. Han Solo, Chewbacca, and crew escape from Jabba the Hutt. And join the resistance in order to take down the Death Star. This is Death Star Part 2, which happens to be working towards the end. This is one sentence.
This is way more than one sentence.
I'm adding little commentaries.
No, you can't add commentaries. So Shalom's putting sidebars in his two-sentence summary.
One sentence.
Okay, keep going.
But Luke then has to confront his father in order to save him and defeat the Emperor.
I think your sidebar should disqualify you. That's what I think.
It's like little commentary. It's like one of the best things in the English language is the brackets. I love brackets.
No.
Life is all about the brackets.
No. Oh my gosh. No. Everyone just vote for Shalom. No.
Vote for Shalom. No.
You're crazy. How would you rate this movie?
I would give it a 10. It's a great, great movie. Great movie. Fun to watch. Very interesting. Love the little like family drama going on, you know. Yoda dies, which is sad.
I don't like that part.
But we feel good because we have Baby Yoda now in our lives.
We have Baby Yoda in our lives, so we can do it.
Thank you, Yoda, for leaving us this gift. You know, I like to think it's his child, but...
We don't know yet.
Probably not.
We don't know. We have no clue. I'm nervous about it.
Oh, gosh.
I would also give this movie a 10, but I would say it's not necessarily my favorite.
Mm.
But it's still a 10.
Yeah.
I do absolutely. Really love this movie, and I could watch it a bazillion times. Yeah. I think I have watched it a bazillion times.
Yeah. Within not our rating kind of approach.
Yeah.
How we view a 10.
It still it gets a 10. In there. Yeah, mm-hmm. It still fits there. Yeah. But it is not my favorite of the movies. I think it's kind of the least deep, if that makes any sense.
Mm.
I mean, we do get some nice, like, tie-up moments that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say of the movies, I feel like this one is probably my almost least favorite.
To be honest with you, I actually like this one. I think there is
you
a
like
redemption.
It because it's mostly fighting.
It's fighting, but to be honest with you, I love how it brings Vader's story around.
Mm, that's
it's
true.
It's that redemption element is very encouraging to me, especially with how I view the world, like with just the balance between light and darkness, mm-hmm. and seeing Vader have that turnaround where he saves Luke, mm-hmm. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we're going to keep our discussion part of this episode pretty short because our resident nerd, Joe, is coming for some deep space talk since we have hit the end of this trilogy.
Yeah, we're going into deep space.
Yes. That's what deep space sounds like, apparently. So this movie's kind of broken up into a few elements. I think we'll just start at the beginning and we'll work our way through.
Yes.
So first main part, breaking Han out.
Mm. Yeah. You know, that was a fun part. I like the fact that you get to see a little bit more of like the in-depth world of like the Star Wars world. You know, I think that's why I love Mandalorian so much, because you get to see like some of the like little interactions, like this is how this world works a little bit, you know, getting outside of the big plot, which is, you know, Vader, you know, Luke Skywalker, the Emperor. We step out of that. We step out of the main plot line into this side plot, which dives into Han just a little bit, but allows us to kind of like, you know, breathe in, you know, the Star Wars world, you know. And so I enjoyed that. I enjoyed like looking at the music, you know. That was a cool part, like having them sing and dance, and you get a little bit of how George Lucas is kind of seeing how the world works, you know what I mean? So that was fun.
I like a lot with that scene.
Yeah.
There's so many parts that I love. I love that you kind of get to see, like, the way, like what you were saying, the way that they treat the droids, the way that they treat, like, different species, different people who are there. Like, you've got a lot of bounty hunters hanging out, kind of. So, like, you get that culture.
Yes.
I also like, and this might seem really silly, when Luke kills the Rancor. How, like, the two guys who, like, take care of this, like, monster, like, they're devastated. Like, it almost feels like a Hagrid moment. Like, very, like, like, they killed my monster. So I think, like, we kind of get this other point of view a little bit, you know, of... There are people who, like, live this life. And they're not just, like, evil, per se. You know, that's just their life. I love the death of Jabba the Hutt. I'll never forget, I watched this interview with Carrie Fisher one time, and the interviewer asked, like, well, what do you think you're saying to young girls, like, being in this scene where you're, like, a slave girl? And Carrie Fisher was like, I think it's a great scene because I get to kill the guy who forced me into that situation. Like, I was the one who killed Jabba. No one else did. Like, I got to do that. Yeah. And I was like, That was a really good answer in a time that I think people kind of wanted to trick her a little bit, I guess, because I do think, again, we've talked about this before, the shortcomings of the movies, like, it's not very diverse, like, it's kind of weird, like, she's not the only sex slave, like, you saw the other two girls in the beginning dancing for him, so it's like, that was there as well.
Yeah.
So, I think that they were kind of pushing at, like, women were being sexualized in this movie. But I think that it wasn't being glorified.
Right. I think there's such a big difference, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where...
And Jabba's disgusting. Yeah, he's disgusting. Like, they really made him nasty.
Yeah, that look... He's got, like, a fat tongue.
Yeah, like his little tongue.
Yeah, it's like a fat tongue.
Stupid little tail.
Yeah, it looks like a little pod, like a little, you know, frogs when frogs have little babies, like they're little tiny. He looks like a giant version of that with hands and a weird tongue.
He is so weird.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think what stood out for me with that whole scene, you see Luke Skywalker's kind of maturity. You know, because yes. I think we needed that. Okay, Luke is now like, you know, he's a Jedi. He's a Jedi now, you know.
Yeah.
He's arrived, you know, and you can see that even Darth Vader later on says, you got training, you've been taught, wow, like now come to the dark side, but you've been taught, wow. And I like that this whole scene with the rescue of first off Han and then the rescue of everyone else.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a great opportunity for the writers to show us Luke Skywalker's maturity, his development, like how far he has come. So that was really cool to see.
Yeah. The other thing that I really love is I love when Luke is using his like Jedi mind tricks on the assistant guy.
Yeah.
And Jabba's like, you're so weak minded. Right. You're so weak minded. But yeah. I also like that because it shows that like Jabba, like, yeah, he's disgusting, but he's not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very like he is an intelligent foe. As disgusting as he is, like despicable as he is, he's not weak minded. So there was like that whole added element.
For someone like him to be able to run things the way that he does, he has to be smart.
Yeah.
You know, evil but smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they escape.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke goes back to Dagobah.
Yes.
Where Yoda tries to avoid some hard questions.
Is Vader my father? I'm so sleepy.
Yeah, just like rolls over.
I'm going to go to sleep now.
He's like, for the love of all that's good, like, please just let me go to sleep. I've lived 900 years. I'd rather die than answer your questions. But I mean, Luke does get some answers, you know?
Yeah.
And he does get to call out Obi-Wan.
He does.
He does.
From a certain point of view. That was the most political thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm like, dude, you lied. You say I lied to you. Like, I didn't tell you the truth. It's like, from a certain point of view. I'm like, come on.
From every point of view, you're lying.
From every point
of view, you're lying. He just didn't want to say a hard truth. And you know what? I get it. I really do get it. I really do. Like, who wants to say, like, hey, so I was training your dad, and under my watch, he went a little cray, and he became, like, the most evil person in the entire galaxy. Mm. So, you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. That's very true. It was just funny to hear him trying to explain that stuff away. It's like, no, you lied. You lied. We get it. We get why you did it, but...
And then we get the next bombshell about Leia.
Mm-hmm. Right. There is another Skywalker. Dead. I'm like, oh dead. My gosh.
And then Obi-Wan's like, yeah, Leia's your sister.
Oh my gosh.
They were just going for all the drama,
They were just going for it. Bombshell.
They just wanted it everywhere.
Goodness, that was definitely one of those like moments where, you know, Luke is processing a lot, and then he tells Leia, and then she has to process all of that, and that's kind of huge, you know, because she grew up as a princess with, not saying that she feels less of a person, but she's processing that she has this whole life, and her father is Darth Vader, who is the big bad.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, and she also, like, kissed her brother twice.
And she also,
So, also, you're like, whoa, okay, this is real awkward now.
Like,
everything's awkward.
We thought this was a love triangle, but it ain't. No more.
The other thing, before we move on to the whole, like, him getting back with Leia and Han.
Uh-huh.
The one thing I thought was really interesting was before Yoda dies, he says, don't underestimate the power of the Empire or you'll go down the same path as your father.
Right.
I thought that was really interesting because it when we get to Endor, there really is that like juxtaposition of when Luke is on the ship, he gives himself up to Vader knowingly, and he's on the ship.
Right.
And there's the whole battle happening on Endor, and it's very like...
Right.
So it goes from these loud scenes to these very like quiet,
yeah,
tempting scenes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some of the things that the Emperor is saying to Luke, like, they're not necessarily... Right. Like, you wouldn't think like, oh, he's really tempting him. You know, he's just like... He's like... Doesn't that make you angry? You know,
yeah.
Like, give into that. Like, that's fine. It's powerful feeling, you know, give into that emotion. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the way that he does it is so, like, it's so sneaky, you know?
Yeah. Very much like where he's like, don't fire. I want to show him. So he wanted Luke to see it happen.
Yeah.
So that he gives into his anger and into his hate and then attack the Emperor.
Which
I'm like... Is that a bad thing, though? Like, I mean, the Emperor is right there. He's sitting on that couch, you know, that weird seating you're sitting on. And he is ordering the troops to destroy your friends, to destroy everyone, and destroy the galaxy, basically. And you are right there, and you have the power to stop it.
Yeah, but your power needs to be coming from righteousness, not from anger.
Right, but still, in that moment, are you going to spend time thinking about, like... How am I feeling right now? Or are you going to say, I need to do the right thing right now, which is get rid of this guy. Because if I get rid of this guy, then everything is fine.
Yeah, but what if you didn't have to kill him? What if you could just imprison him?
You could. But
and you set your whole life down the path.
He's literally holding the mic that is like, or the communication thing that is, basically he's holding the weapon that's firing at these people.
Yeah.
So, would that be such a bad thing? With like you actually saying, "I need to get rid of this person."
Mm.
You know what I mean? We watched Narnia yesterday. Aslan did something that I like. When I watched it, I thought Aslan was gonna be like, "Roar, roar, roar! Punch the queen, bring her down, and go like, get out of here and never come back." But he kills her.
Yeah, he eats her.
He eats her, and he's like. And he ends the whole fight, right?
Yeah.
So can we say that if Luke in that moment, regardless of what he's feeling, went like, I am going to swing my sword and I'm going to like cut this guy down right now and just end the whole thing? That's kind of, I don't know.
Well, they keep saying it depends on your motives.
Right.
That's what I get from the Force is that, like, it's all about motives, motivation, right. Like, where are you drawing your power from?
Right. True. True. But in that moment, it's his friends. You know what I mean? Like, the Emperor is showing him his friends. But, you know, I get it, though. I get it. I find myself in that space quite a bit where I'm like, okay, like, I hear all this talk of, like, don't strike this person, don't shoot, don't do this. But I myself, like, you know, in real life, I'm all about peace.
I was going to say, you're such a pacifist.
I am, but...
but
I
not think, in his movies.
At the same time, even though I'm a pacifist, I think we need to have fair conversations. You know what I mean? I get someone who says, that guy had a gun that was coming at me. I have my gun. I'm going to protect myself. That guy was going towards my friends and wanting to kill them. So I had my weapon and I took them down. Mm-hmm. So I get that. It's something that I think, even me, I believe in pacifism. I am someone who is like, wow, I wish the world was like that. I know myself as a human being. I'm human and I've got a lot of Vader in me, you know, so I don't know how I would respond sometimes in situations where something like that is happening. I hope that never happens. So it's kind of like it just needs to be a fair conversation, which I don't know if at that time the writing styles allowed us to have.
That's true.
Which is why I'm excited.
They wanted it to be more black and white.
Yeah. That's why I'm excited about where they're going with Rey and with Kylo. I feel like there's almost that. It's happening. I think we're coming to a balanced state. Mm-hmm. So.
I could see that.
Mm.
So, down on Endor.
Endor.
We meet our favorite little buddies, the Ewoks. The
Ewoks. Oh, so cute.
They were so like, cute. I feel like they've only gotten better. They're like, here are your Ewoks. Here are your Porgs.
Right.
Here are your baby Yodas. Like, they just like, they're like, we're going, oh, BB-8. I miss BB-8.
BB-8.
And I'm like, they're like, get cuter and cuter and cuter.
It's crazy.
They
it's
just crazy. Want everything cute.
I think whoever does their merchandising or whatever is very smart. They know, they're like, we want something that you can package. You can take each of these characters and put them in a little box that people want to buy.
Kids will like freak out.
Yeah, because I'm freaking out. I'm like, why don't they have Baby Yoda out? Why is Baby Yoda out?
They really wanted to keep him a surprise. You know? They announced that, actually. They announced that they were like, if we had started putting the merchandise out, it would have been leaked that we were making Baby Yodas.
Yes.
And then it wouldn't have been a surprise on The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So they were so afraid. Yeah. They're willing to give up the immediate money that they could make for the surprise factor. Of the story. Yeah.
I mean, that's very impressive. Very non-capitalistic.
Yeah.
Very, like,
I'm they're going to make money after the holidays, though. They're definitely going to make money after the holidays.
Definitely. I hope, like, they'll be like, you know, December 19th. It's out.
No, they said that it won't be here before Christmas.
Heartbreak.
Broken heart. They're so cute.
Oh,
Ewoks though. The one thing that I really love about this movie is that the Ewoks are like taking on the stormtroopers in like a very like non-traditional Star Wars manner. You know, they don't have blasters, they don't have anything like that. My favorite technique they use though is when they have the two logs and they take down the AT-ST.
Yeah.
And they like chop it down and it smashes it in half. Yeah. I like that one a lot.
Yeah. I like it because I think it's very, they have the numbers and they jump on top. Like, it's cute at the same time. So you're like, oh, look at it. It's kicking him.
It's kicking him.
So it's really great. It's really great.
I don't know how I feel about when they think that C-3PO is their god.
He needed a break.
And what do you mean?
They've been making fun of him this whole time.
So he deserved
ruthlessly. It. Like, shut up, C-3PO. He needed a moment to shine, and I thought that was perfect.
He finally got his moment where they're like, he's clearly like the most annoying of all of them. And he's been so useful the whole time. He's the one. He's the one who tells them the issue with the Millennium Falcon. He's the one who like can translate everything.
Yeah.
Like, he's been so helpful the entire mission, but he is annoying.
No matter how smart, how like smart you are, how clever you are, no one likes a smarty pants.
That's true.
Everyone that like hates smarty pants.
I'm fluent in over 3 billion languages.
Because you can be cool and translate stuff, but if you're like almost talking down to people, he does that a lot to R2-D2.
Yeah,
he does. He talks down to him, and no one likes that. So
it's a little bit his fault.
He draws it in, you know.
So they get the shield down, and then meanwhile, Luke, Vader, Emperor are all kind of fighting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. A hand for a hand, you know?
They love the limb thing.
They love cutting off hands.
They got hooked.
They love it.
It's amazing.
They love cutting hands off. Okay, this is the part that kills me though. So, Darth Vader, right?
Yeah.
Luke's getting like electrocuted because like the Emperor loves doing his little electric thing, right?
Yeah.
So he's electrocuting, and then Luke, like Luke's like dying, and Darth Vader like picks up the Emperor and then gets shocked as well. I'm like, dude, you have a lightsaber.
Just stab him.
Or you also have the Force, like just like push him.
Just go.
Yeah, just like push him over, knock him over. It's an old guy.
Yeah, was he, like, maybe he was in a self-destructive state where he's kind of like, we're out. We're both gonna die right now.
Like, he just, like, wanted to end. He just wanted to end the Sith. Like, that's true. My other question is, why are there so many, like, safety hazards in these like ships? Like, why are there, like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, there's no railings on anything. Uh-huh. There's no, like, and even when there are railings, like, I just feel like they're not safe enough. Like, right. There's, like, I see so many OSHA violations. I'm very upset. Like,
we need to report that ship.
Yeah, I'm going to report them. I want to report them. This is dangerous.
This is a dangerous place. I think that's the whole deal. It's like, that place is for death. It's not it's for
death.
You know, if you have the force and you fall over a guardrail, that's
that's your fault.
That is your fault. You deserve to go down.
Were you ready for Darth Vader to take his helmet off?
Wow. I was. I think.
Because we get a snippet of it.
Yeah, you get a snippet of it. I think that I was expecting that. It felt appropriate for mm-hmm. that to happen. It kind of makes him human.
Yeah.
It allows him to have a human moment. I thought that was cool.
So I have a question for you. In the original showing, right?
Right.
At the end, when you see, like, the Force ghosts of everyone, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They'd had that Darth Vader there.
Yeah.
And now, the ones that we see now they have Anakin there.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think it makes sense that they had Anakin there?
Yeah. I think because they're very Obi-Wan especially, is very explicit about the differences of personalities between Darth Vader and Anakin. And I think mm-hmm. that it's appropriate, since Anakin is now saved and mm-hmm. everything, him having that form of his previous self, I think that was mm-hmm. appropriate. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't know how I feel about, like, I know George Lucas went back and he changed a lot of the scenes so that it could look like how he actually wanted to be. And sometimes I'm like, just leave it. But then just at the same time, out. I'm like, if the technology's there and it's not what you want it to be, and like you have, you know, the resources to be able to change it, like, why not?
Why not? Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. I agree with that position. I think that it's fine to go back and redo it. Mm. At the same time.
But I kind of like the authenticity of, like, the original, you know?
Yeah, at the same time, you know, like, with music, studying music and listening to music and listening to songs from way back, I'm like, I don't want Wu-Tang Clan to be like, oh, we wanted this beat to sound like this, so now we're going to, like, go back and redo, like, the mm-hmm. music parts or whatever on this album so that it sounds like how we wanted it to sound. It's like, no, I wanted to sound the way, like, when I was a little kid and I walked in and I want to experience that.
Yeah.
I don't want something different from that. So I get that. I get both perspectives. I think that, but if it's a story flaw, like what George Lucas is going, like, I wanted it to actually bring the story full circle.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the exceptions where you can be like, yeah, that ties the story really nicely back together.
Mm-hmm.
Because it almost needs it. You know what I mean? It almost needs that redemption arc. That is the part that welds the two pieces that brings them together and completes the arc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my theme comes from Force Ghost Obi-Wan. He says, you are going to find many of the truths we cling to depend on our point of view.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty deep.
Deep.
Because I feel like as people, we're actually like belief people more than truth people. I think that what we do depends a lot on emotion. Like, I really, truly believe that. There's this line in Jurassic Park that I just love. I love it. Ian Malcolm says it. It's in the book, not in the movie. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how as people, like, if we were logical people, like, we wouldn't get ourselves into a lot of the debates, a lot of the messes that we do. Because often, like, we don't really pay attention to facts.
Yeah.
We pay attention to our beliefs.
Yeah.
And our beliefs then put us on different points of view.
Right. That's so good. And that's the world we live in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like you have people who believe one thing, but when they hear something different, and even when they're facts, they don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
And to be honest, that's one of the most frustrating things that's out there nowadays, you know? And that's a lie. Not nowadays. I think it's always been there. That people live off their point of their beliefs, their point of view. And so they create, they can, even when they're real facts, they can almost create their own facts based on what they believe. So, wow.
Yeah. I really feel like we're feeling people. And to bring it back to Star Wars for a second, I was thinking a lot about how, like, they're always talking about, like, the balance of the Force, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what if, like, this belief in the Force, having, like, the dark side and the good side and light side, so it's like you've got, like, dark and light, but, like, what if you're actually the whole time supposed to be seeking balance?
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to be seeking that. And I'm almost like, I'm wondering if, like, like, this belief system. Is keeping them away from the truth of, like, of balance, of just overall balance.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my word. Yeah, and I think it almost teaches us empathy with whatever beliefs is out there, you know, and not, I think we can still, where there's a need to fight and to protect the future and protect the vulnerable, and I think it's important. At the same time, I think that understanding that there are people who don't believe that the earth is round, you know, even though it's like clearly the world is
round. Lots of proof.
It's a, you know, it's a sphere. It's not like it's not flat, but they won't believe it because they're like, I have my beliefs. This is what I believe. I believe this. Or global warming, or even though Venice right now is crazy stuff is happening in Venice and crazy stuff is happening in the Amazon, crazy stuff is happening everywhere, we still don't believe, we still don't accept the facts. Because I think yeah, exactly, like, you don't just, it's not about believing the facts, about accepting, it's about
and then becoming part of the belief.
Right Exactly. And so I think that we are taught in life, it's all about faith. It's all about, like, your faith. Do you believe? If you don't believe, you're a sinner and you're messed up and you're wrong. And if you don't believe how I think, and most faiths think that way, you know? Even faiths that commit genocide, that do crazy things, they'll say, if you don't believe how we believe, you're a sinner. And, you know, and you're going to some version of hell that each of these faiths have. And so it's one of those things where it's very, it's so hard then, where you have this belief system that ties you down, it's hard to hear something different and go with it. Even if you go like, you know what, I'm starting to see how that other person thinks, there's a fear of saying, oh, what if I like lose my beliefs and then like end up like getting punished for it. So
yeah
it's crazy, you know. So you can't help but feel sorry for someone who denies the facts, you know, or creates their own facts that cause them to do bad things as well. Which kind of transitions to my theme with Vader. I think here's someone who's reached such a crossing point where he has met, he has a life. I think there's something very powerful about having a personal connection to a conversation, right? I have a conversation with people who are anti-LGBTQ. And are crazy, like, anti, like, where he's like, flip, this guy is anti that. And I've seen people soften when they meet someone who is gay or lesbian or queer. There's the softness that comes about that sometimes is unexpected, you know? It's kind of like, okay, so why are you so soft all of a sudden? And yeah, my child came out and there's something about a personal life connection. So you begin to realize that people, at the end of the day, people are also moved, are probably more moved by personal connections than anything else. You see Vader in this moment, he believes in the Emperor. He believes in the dark side. He's like, join the dark side. It's the powerful one. And 10 seconds later, he is throwing the Emperor over into the little hall.
Yeah. Safety. And,
right. Like, because there's something about that personal, you know, his family. It's something that's very deeply close to his heart. And I think that the world needs, we need more of that. We need more of, in conversations, more of that personal connection. What is your personal connection to your beliefs? Because I think even whether you're Christian, Muslim, whatever, whatever you believe, I think that there's something really powerful about having, even sharing personal stories of saying, hey, here's my journey. Here's where, here's how I've come to believe what I believe. Or rather, sometimes empathizing with people who like I said, who have different belief systems, but sometimes there is also a personal story that led that person to believe that. And sometimes hearing it allows us to understand where they're coming from, or even sometimes help them to understand that there's a better perspective because we understand their story. So it's really interesting to see Darth Vader. He's my favorite character in this show because I think there's such a truth to him. And in a sense, Luke, the temptation that happened, that whole scene, I think it's a very human scene that I love how it turns out, because it shows that at the end of the day, whatever someone believes, it's all about, there's a personal story behind all of that. And the way forward is to empathize with that, is to connect with that and have conversations from that position. So, yeah.
Yeah, I do think it is a lot easier to sympathize with someone versus empathize with someone.
Right.
I think empathy is really difficult. I think it's really, really hard to feel for someone when you've never been in a situation like that, because you just don't get it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think sympathy is a lot easier because you're at, like, you are really being forced to process that and have to go through it and think about it.
You know, absolutely.
I do think that that is like a big thing, which is why I think personal, like what you're saying, like personal connections are so much stronger. Like, I think the Emperor really underestimated, because I don't think he has any kids. Like, I think he really underestimated, like, if I go to kill Anakin's kid, like, he's going to be chill with it. Like, that's what he thought. You know what I mean? He's like, your devotion to me is higher than what you're, like, what you feel for your, like, own child.
Yeah. Oh, my word. You know? That's true.
So I think, like, I do think that you can really miss things. But again, I think empathy is really difficult. I don't think it's easy to be empathetic.
It's not. But you're putting yourself in that person's shoes.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do if you're trying to protect your beliefs.
Yeah.
And if that person's experience is very opposite of your beliefs, how are you going to put yourself in their shoes?
Yeah, exactly. So,
it's good.
So Deep Space is coming up, but we're going to take a quick break. So we want to welcome back Joe, our resident nerd.
Hey, here I am.
He's here. And my question for Joe today is about the prophecy, because that has kind of been something that has been running throughout. And then we're also kind of seeing that a little bit in the new trilogy as well with Rey.
Yeah.
So I just want to ask about that. Like, what's that about?
Okay, so way back in Jedi history, there's this ancient Jedi mystic who gives this prophecy, and there's like thousands of prophecies in the Jedi Temple. They keep track of them, but it's kind of like a shameful thing for them to really pay attention to them a lot. But Qui-Gon Jinn, as you know, Obi-Wan's former master, RIP Qui-Gon Jinn, is super interested in prophecies. That's like when Jedi become apprentices and they get chosen and assigned a master, that master then kind of imbues on their apprentice what they really are really focused on as a Jedi. Okay. And so, like, Qui-Gon Jinn, his big thing, much to the chagrin of Obi-Wan, is prophecies. Like, he's super into prophecies and super into, like, the ancient texts and everything of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ones that he becomes really aware of and really interested in is the prophecy of the Chosen One. Mm-hmm. And so it's this ancient Jedi prophecy that says that there will be a son born without a father who will bring ultimate balance to the Force, and then stops there. And so it's a really, like, generic prophecy that's like most prophecies isn't really anything. It's like, something's gonna happen, get ready. And Qui-Gon Jinn gets super interested in it, but no one else really pays too much attention to it until Qui-Gon finds Anakin. And he's like, yo, Obi-Wan, I think this is the one. And Obi-Wan, having known the prophecies because Qui-Gon was super into it, was like, okay, I guess we'll take a look. And so Qui-Gon brings him back, and you have him at the Jedi Temple, and you have all the stuff that happens with Anakin, and the other Jedi Masters start to go like, oh, wait a second, maybe this is the Chosen One. And so with the prophecy, it's super general, but it seems to apply really well to Anakin. He doesn't have a father, he's super powerful in the Force, and he seems to have, like, this strong will to act. And so the Jedi are like, hey, here's the Chosen One, he's gonna do something. And then ultimately at the end of Revenge of the Sith, that falls apart, obviously, because they had understood it as Anakin as the Chosen One is going to destroy the Sith. That's what Obi-Wan says at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Like, you were going to destroy the Sith, not join them, and you were going to bring balance to the Force, and now that's ruined because now you're a Sith. And so it kind of ends up being a little up in the air. And so as we get into the original trilogy, 4, 5, and 6, we start to kind of think about what that looks like. Now that we have the prequels, and now that we know about the prophecy of the Chosen One and everything like that, when you look at the original trilogy, you start to think, okay, now Anakin is Darth Vader, and we start to question, once we find out that Luke is Darth Vader's son, we start to think, okay, maybe Luke is the Chosen One.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's just one of those things, and kind of Obi-Wan suggests that, like, maybe it, we thought it was going to be Anakin, but now it's Luke. And it just was a thing where it passed on to his son because Anakin turned to the dark side. And you have, at the end of Return of the Jedi, you have this kind of culmination moment where Luke goes through this transformation. And he goes through this really, I think, really interesting transformation in the original trilogy where he's kind of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in The New Hope. And he's like, I'm so whiny and a young kid. I wanted to be an Imperial person. And he kind of goes through, like, this dark transition in Empire Strikes Back. And then Return of the Jedi, at the end of that, you see him, like, go all out. And what I think is really interesting about that is that, especially as it pertains to the prophecy, you see Luke kind of have the same climax moment that Anakin had. And all throughout Return of the Jedi, Luke, like Anakin was in Revenge of the Sith, is in all black throughout the movie. And so you see that throughout Return of the Jedi, and at the end of Return of the Jedi, Luke has this, like, culmination moment where it's like, oh my gosh, maybe he'll turn to the dark side too. Because he like gives in and he takes his lightsaber back and he's fighting Darth Vader. And there's, like, that unleashing of his anger on Darth Vader at the end where he's just, like, slashing and slashing and slashing. And then he looks at his hand and he's like, oh man, we're the same. And so he has this moment where he goes, okay, I need to be better. And I need to show that, like, this isn't something we need to give into. And so we end up at the end of Return of the Jedi with, like, okay, Darth Vader kills the Emperor, and effectively, because Darth Vader and the Emperor die, that's the end of the Sith, or the Sith, like, hierarchy. So it kind of leaves us in a weird spot, though, because we wonder whether Anakin killing the Emperor brings balance to the Force, and so Anakin really was the Chosen One, or whether Luke is the Chosen One, because he's kind of the one that brings about that change. And so we're kind of in a weird spot, because then you get into the new trilogies with Rey and even Kylo Ren, where you're like, okay, now where does it stand? Because Kylo Ren is the grandson of Anakin, so is now Kylo Ren supposed to do something with, like, fulfilling the prophecy? Or was it Luke by, like, destroying the Sith and being kind of this in-between Jedi, but he was still a Jedi, so did he really bring balance? And so it's in this weird kind of place where the prophecy is very general. And so we, as audience members, aren't quite sure where it's at. And it's especially becomes confusing now. Spoiler alert, if you've seen the trailers for Rise of Skywalker, that the Emperor is back.
Yes.
Because now, if Anakin was the Chosen One by killing the Emperor, well, the Emperor's back. So is he really the Chosen One because the Emperor didn't die? And so we're in kind of this weird space. And so in terms of the prophecy, it designates the Chosen One. And really, if you look at it specifically as like being about a child born with no father, it should really be Anakin.
Yeah.
But we're still not sure. It's kind of up in the air because could it be Anakin if he didn't actually end up personally bringing balance to the Force?
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of backstory in the Clone Wars TV show, too. One of the most interesting series of episodes is in the third season, where it really kind of brings about this confrontation for Anakin with what being the Chosen One looks like. And without giving too much information, there's like they travel to this planet and there's these two representations of like the light side and the dark side of the Force. And then there's a father who's supposed to control them and bring balance to them. And he's dying. And so he says, yo, Anakin, you're the Chosen One. I need you to take over for me. And so that adds another piece of depth to this, where Anakin knows he's the Chosen One and has been acting as if, and people have been telling him that he's the Chosen One, but then he specifically turns to the dark side. So we're in kind of this weird spot. And especially since you have Luke and Leia are children of Anakin. So could it really just be Luke, or could it really just be Leia? So it's kind of a confusing thing. And I think that one of the interesting things for me with Rise of the Skywalker is where they end up wrapping that up, because they have to wrap that somehow in terms of like who was the Chosen One and what happened with the Chosen One. Where is balance being brought to the Force? And so I'm really interested to see what they do with that, because we are in kind of this ambiguous space. And so that's like a long story long about like, the prophecy was really like general. So it could be multiple different options.
So you mentioned Leia there for a second. I always found that part a little confusing, because I felt like they like hinted towards Leia and then like they didn't really do anything with that. Like, what, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I actually really think it's really interesting that they make Luke have a sister and make him have a sibling at all, because one of the interesting things with Anakin and comparing to Luke is that if you look at the original trilogy, Anakin kind of goes through all that he goes through on almost like a personal vendetta, where a lot of the way he talks about being him and doing the things that he wants to do and everything, a lot of what he talks about is used in like, I need to do this. I need to go and save my mom. I need to make sure that Padme doesn't die. And he like obviously has people that work with him, like Obi-Wan as his master, and eventually Palpatine becoming his master. Like, he has people that he associates with along the way. But in the original trilogy, you have Luke as kind of not really on that personal individual vendetta. And what I think is really interesting about them bringing Leia in is that Luke has someone else. It's not just all on Luke then. And it does kind of end in Return of the Jedi. They, like you said, they drop it and it's like, hey, there is another. And then Luke goes near the end of Return of the Jedi and is like, hey, Leia, by the way, you're my sister. And so it's really interesting because it does establish this relationship that with Luke and Leia, it's not just a Chosen One anymore. That the story of the Skywalkers is like, you have Anakin, who was supposed to be the Chosen One, who has two children who are twins, who are like descended from that. And so it kind of is really interesting to me because it splits that relationship. And it does say like, okay, this is a pair. You have two children of Anakin Skywalker who can then bring about balance to the Force, or can then redeem the legacy of Anakin, or redeem the legacy of Darth Vader. And so I do think that's really interesting. But at the end of Return of the Jedi, they do leave it kind of general. They kind of just leave it like, hey, Leia and Luke are brother and sister, and then we blow up the second Death Star, and Luke, like, becomes Jedi, and it's cool. Yay! And it ends on just, like, the celebration of, like, yay, second Death Star is done. Goodbye, Empire. And so it does kind of leave a little bit of question marks in terms of what happens with Leia. And they do explore that in some of the, like, extended universe stuff. Some of the stuff that's canon now. A lot of it has to do with the fact that Luke offers Leia the opportunity to learn how to become a Jedi or to learn how to use the Force. And he's like, hey, like, you are as powerful as me, technically, in terms of your connection with the Force. I can teach you how to use that. And what's really interesting is that within those stories, Leia accepts some lessons and she kind of says, like, okay, Luke, like, teach me a little bit, but she actually doesn't want to be a Jedi. She doesn't want to use the Force. She doesn't want to, like, get a lightsaber or like do Force pushes and pulls and everything like that, because she's so committed to the Republic and to the New Republic and kind of making sure that succeeds. She thinks that becoming a Jedi or the amount of training that it takes to really get in touch with the Force will distract her from being a good representative for the New Republic. And so she kind of turns him away and is like, I appreciate the offer, but you go do your Jedi thing. Maybe teach me a little bit so I can maybe tap in if I really, really need to. But, okay, thanks, bye. And she kind of turns that opportunity away. And so it does set up an interesting relationship there, because you do have Luke, who is this kind of through line between the original trilogy and the new trilogy, as being, like, not just the new hope, but also the new representation and the person who might bring about the new Jedi Order. And you have his twin sister, who's kind of trying to do her own thing and make her own impact and have her own purpose rather than just kind of falling in line with the Jedi. And so it is really interesting, but they do kind of leave it really general. But there is some backstory there that happens with Luke offering that and Leia just kind of being like, no, I'd rather focus on helping the New Republic.
So then that's what happens in The Last Jedi when she kind of like pulls herself. So she had like a little bit, but not like enough to really do anything.
Exactly. It was kind of one of those things where she wanted it to just be in like dire circumstances. Well, she could tap into it. Yeah, exactly. When she's when you're floating out in the middle of space, I guess it's like, kind of dire or whatever.
It's a good time now.
Exactly, exactly. And so that was actually a surprise to me when that happens in The Last Jedi, because it does kind of bring that full circle and show, yes, she did learn something from Luke. Like, she learned how to pull herself back onto a ship using the Force. It's like this weirdly, like, interesting scene where it's like, oh.
It was very, I was shocked when I saw that. I was like, whoa, okay. We're going there. Like, we're going there. We're doing it.
Yeah. But it does allude to that kind of fact that she has the same power. She just didn't want to tap in fully. Yeah.
So I feel like I need to ask this. Any predictions for Rise of Skywalker?
All right. So I have many.
Many. I'm ready.
I'm going to try to keep it short.
Okay.
The first one that I have to establish and stake my flag in the ground because I want to shout it far and wide so that when I think it happens, I can be like, yes, I predicted that. From like one of the first moments that we see Rey in Force Awakens, I've had the prediction that at some point, if she was to become a Jedi, she would be the first Jedi that we've seen in a movie with a double-bladed lightsaber. Like Darth Maul style, but blue or whatever. Because she has like the staff and she seems really like good with fighting with the staff and everything. And even when she gets to the planet with Luke, she's kind of like swinging around her staff she's and she's still like tapping into that. And so I have always had the prediction since Force Awakens that she will, if she makes her own lightsaber, it'll be double bladed and it's just going to happen.
It's going to be awesome. It's going
to
be so
and
awesome.
It has to happen because I need it to happen. So that's kind of my first one. That's kind of like a little bit of an aside. I do think that they do have to wrap up the Chosen One storyline and they do have to really wrap that up and show, okay, this is how the Skywalker storyline ended. And I think that obviously they're going to do that, especially with the title of the movie.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see how they're going to do that. One of the thoughts that I've had that I saw kind of on a fan theory that I really liked and started to think about was the idea that the Rise of Skywalker, instead of being about A Person Rising will be about the idea that Skywalker is a new group. That instead of Jedi or Sith, these are Skywalker. That these are meant to be in the middle. That they balance between dark side and light side. And that's how the Skywalker brings balance to the Force.
Yeah.
Is that it's this new group. It's not like Luke popping up out of the ground or anything like that. It's this new group and this rise of Skywalker, which Skywalker could be both plural and singular, like Jedi is or Sith is.
Shlomo, I've been talking a lot about how they've been. It does feel with Rey, especially Rey.
Yeah.
Like she is a more balanced person and like that they are going to go for that balance of the Force.
Yeah.
Type. Like it feels like we're heading in that direction. And I hope they go that way.
Yeah. And Luke kind of started that process because Luke is kind of like a, they call them like gray Jedi, where it's like.
He felt like that.
Yeah. He follows the Jedi teachings and stuff like that, but he does kind of establish his own style. Mm-hmm. And when he starts the new Jedi Order, he kind of says, okay, these were the things that worked for the Jedi, but I think that these are things that could help the Jedi not fall apart again.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of a little bit more okay with tapping into emotion and tapping into love and stuff like that. And so I do think that like Rey is kind of the extension of that. And whatever origin they end up deciding definitively for Rey, I think she is kind of that extension, that she is in the middle and she does, throughout the movie, she's been... She's had emotional moments, but she's also had moments of, like, patience and, like, balance. And so I think that is really interesting. And then my last prediction is based on, actually, a game that I've been playing recently that just came out, Jedi Fallen Order, that's really good, highly recommend it, I'm not going to spoil anything. It's really good.
I saw a preview for it. I thought it was a movie at first. Like, that's like that's how cool the, like... preview is for and I was like, what movie is that, like, when is that coming out? And so I was like, that's a video game, and I was like, dang
and so I've been playing through that, and that's really good, highly recommend it. But without spoiling any part of the story or any big moments that happen, there is a moment that involves the planet of Ilum, which is where the Jedi in the ancient Jedi Order, and as well as even the prequel Jedi Order, that's where they go to get their kyber crystals to put into their lightsabers. And it's kind of like an icy planet, and it's a little bit like you go into caves to find your kyber crystal, and it's actually a really interesting process. You see that in some of the TV shows as well. But there's a part of the storyline that involves Ilum, and as I was playing through it the other day, I realized that a lot of it looks similar to the throne that you see Emperor Palpatine sitting on in the trailers. Like, a lot of the structure of the planet and the caves, there's a lot of, like, spiky rocks and a lot of stuff like that. And I realized looking at it that it looks a lot like what the Emperor is sitting in when you see him come out in the trailer, even if it's just from behind.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I started thinking about was that maybe that's where the Emperor has been hiding. That really kind of the last little twist of the knife that he dug into the Jedi Order was that after he died or apparently died or whatever happened to him, where he built the like hidden side of the Empire that's going to end up coming out of nowhere in Rise of Skywalker was on Ilum, as kind of that last like knife turn into the Jedi. Like, haha, I'm going to build this secret base on the planet that you used to get your kyber crystals from. And so that's kind of a small prediction that I had the other day about the fact that, you know, you see in the trailers there's the old style Star Destroyers coming out of something in the trailer. You're like, oh, I wonder what that is. And it looks a lot like it's coming out of ice or something. And so that's part of my prediction, is that he built kind of a secret base or a secret empire or a bunch of secret stuff on Ilum. And that's where they're going to come out. And maybe whether Rey goes there to, like, build a lightsaber and then it's like, oh my gosh, it's the Emperor or something like that. I think that would be really interesting. But that's a little bit more of a distant prediction.
Yeah.
It was just based on something I saw the other day.
just something I was thinking about.
Just a little
about.
Aside, because this is what I think about in my spare time.
And that's why you're a resident nerd, you know?
Exactly.
Like, that's why.
You know what? I fit my role well.
So we were just talking about the video game.
Yes.
But is there anything else that you think would be helpful for people to, like, if they are feeling nerdy and want to, like, reference some other things to get ready for Rise of Skywalker?
With their inner Joe?
Their inner Joe.
Yes. So in a couple different types of media, I think there's things that I know I'll be engaging with in the time while I'm waiting for the last movie, Rise of Skywalker. I'm so excited. And so there's a few different things depending upon the poison that you like to pick. So if you're a really big fan of TV shows, there are a few TV shows that I would recommend for that time period waiting for Rise of Skywalker. And so the first one I would recommend is a little bit more distant and the oldest of them, but is The Clone Wars, which is on both Disney Plus, and you can find it on like Amazon Prime, not free, you can rent it on there. But if you find a way to be able to watch it, if you happen to have Disney Plus or if you want to rent it, it's got 6 seasons and it's a really interesting animated TV show that covers that space of the Clone Wars that you kind of get a glimpse into in episode 2 and a little bit in episode 3, but it gives you a lot more like character depth to Anakin and Obi-Wan, and even like Count Dooku and Mace Windu and Yoda, and it gives you a little bit more depth and gives you a little bit more backstory on what happens during the Clone Wars. And so that's a really good one that I would recommend. And the other animated one that I would recommend is Star Wars Rebels. That's a little bit more recent. I don't like Star Wars Rebels quite as much as The Clone Wars, but it is a good example of some of the backstory that goes into the movies as well. That takes place between episode 3 and episode 4 and covers like this small band of rebels that are part of the beginnings of the Rebel Alliance that you see in the original trilogy. Oh, so that one's pretty good. Gives you some extra backstory as well. That one's also available on Disney Plus. All of this is on Disney Plus now because Disney owns everything Star Wars.
Yes.
And so that's available there, but that's another thing that you can check out on Amazon Prime. You can rent it if you want to. And then the last TV show-wise that I would recommend, I wasn't completely sure until it got released and came out, is The Mandalorian.
Yes.
I would highly recommend it. I know that you and I have been talking about it, and it is a cultural phenomenon at this point. I have to admit, so many memes.
Oh, so many memes.
There's so many memes, so many things. It's just everyone's talking about it. Okay. So many products you can buy now. But that is one that's between episode 6 and 7. So it does kind of bridge the gap between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. And it does kind of give you a glimpse into what happens after the Empire falls. And I do like that. We are following just the character of the Mandalorian right now and some of the escapades with other characters. But it does give you a little bit of a glimpse of what that looks like after the Empire falls. So I would highly recommend that one. That one's only on Disney Plus. So again, the monopoly on Star Wars is on the part of Disney.
I'm just saying, Disney Plus is not that expensive.
It's not. If you,
it's not that bad.
If you can find a $6 or $7 for just even a month, just to check some stuff out, I would highly recommend it.
I recommend it.
And you can get it for free from, I think it's Comcast, and I think Verizon Fios is giving like a month or a year for free right now. So it might be an option for you as well. So if you're into TV shows, those are kind of the three that I would recommend. If you're into books, if you're more of a book person, there are a lot of new Star Wars books and a lot of even comic books and graphic novels that have come out since Disney bought the rights to Star Wars. And I do have to say that there were a bunch of books that were released after the original trilogy came out, and even when the prequel trilogy came out, that when Disney bought Star Wars are no longer technically canon. So there's some really good series in there that are interesting to read, but technically they're not going to actually line up necessarily with what's happening in the movies because they're not canon. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend those if you're trying to bridge the time until Rise of Skywalker comes out. But there are three that I would recommend in the new canon. There's the Thrawn trilogy, which came out a few years ago. They came out with the first one, and then last year they came out with a second book in the trilogy, and then this year, a few months ago, they just released a third book in the trilogy. That one's really interesting and covers the character of Grand Admiral Thrawn, who is a Grand Admiral in the Imperial Navy, and is like super smart, super strategic, really interesting character. And there is a possibility that he'll play some sort of role in Rise of Skywalker. Oh, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a huge possibility, but because he's a major figure for the Empire and he's kind of their best admiral for a good while, it's possible that he'll at least be alluded to in Rise of Skywalker. So that might be an interesting one. Those are really good books. If you're just going to read one, I would recommend the first one, Thrawn, that covers his backstory and his, like, him as a character a little bit more. But the other two are really good as well. The second book that I would recommend is called Master and Apprentice. That one's about Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. And for me, Obi-Wan is my favorite character in Star Wars. And so it was really interesting to learn more about him. And Qui-Gon is my favorite lost opportunity Star Wars.
Why'd they do that?
I got so attached to Qui-Gon and then they killed him off, but I'm not bitter. You're bitter. And so Master and Apprentice is a story within their relationship as Master and Apprentice. And it's really interesting because it provides some backstory on their relationship together. Some of the tenuousness that goes on between Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon's very cerebral and very like, I want to look at the ancient texts and stuff like that. And Obi-Wan's much more like, I want to get into the action. Yeah. And so it's a really interesting relationship. And you get a lot of that backstory that's really cool. So Master and Apprentice is the other one I would recommend. And then the third one I would recommend, if you're looking to kind of bridge that gap again between episodes 6 and 7, there's one called Bloodline, which is about Princess Leia. And actually kind of focuses on her and some of the stuff that goes on for her as one of the leaders in the New Republic. And kind of the struggles that she has with dealing with the bureaucracy of this group that she helped start and helped overthrow the Empire for and everything like that. And that's a really interesting one to kind of look into what Princess Leia's story is like after the original trilogy, which we don't get too much of. You get a little bit and some interesting stories with Luke and some other people after the original trilogy, but you don't typically get too much with Princess Leia. And so if you're a huge Princess Leia fan, as I am as well, that's a really interesting storyline, and it's a really interesting way to look at her as a character. So, book-wise, those are the three I would recommend. There's one also called Honorable Mention. There's one called Star Wars from a Certain Point of View, which is a really interesting collection of short stories that were written by a whole bunch of different authors on kind of the background and random characters in A New Hope, episode 4. Really? It's actually really interesting, and it covers everything from like a random Jawa on the sand crawler that Luke runs into to the red droid that Luke and his Uncle Owen buy first and then blows up, and that allows them to buy R2-D2. And even like some bounty hunters. There's one about like one of the Tusken Raiders. So it's really interesting short stories about some of like the ancillary, no one would give a crap about them characters. But it is really interesting. And if you are able to, that's one that I would recommend getting on Audible. Because what they do is they have different celebrities and different famous people read different short stories as well. So like Neil Patrick Harris reads one, which is really cool. And so it's like Will Wheaton reads another one. And so it's kind of like a cool experience to listen to if you have some time, or if you commute into work like I do. That's kind of a cool way to listen to that one. And then video games, if you're a gamer like me, there's kind of three that I would recommend. First one being the one that just came out, Jedi Fallen Order. Again, that takes place between episodes 3 and episode 4. And it directly deals with the fact that the Jedi have fallen after Order 66. Ostensibly, all the Jedi are dead. And so there's one character who's trying to deal with that and also trying to survive. And the whole storyline is really, really interesting and has some interesting ways of looking not just at the Jedi, but also what happens between episode 3 and 4. Does it in a really personal way. There's not a ton of characters that you either play as or interact with, like, personally. It's mostly just Cal Kestis is the name of the Jedi and his shipmates, which are, there's two of them. And it's a really interesting story. Really good if you're a nerdy gamer like me. Really good gameplay, really fun lightsaber combat. But also some really good stories, some really good, interesting stuff. My wife is a really big fan of watching me play video games. She likes that one. So so that's one. Another one that I would recommend, one that's a little bit more controversial, is Battlefront 2, Star Wars Battlefront 2. The newer one, or the older one. The older one was really good as well. But the newer one kind of came out a couple years ago and gives you kind of a really cool feeling of what it feels like to be in Star Wars. Like, yeah. You play as different factions in the movies. Cool. And so, you know, you're a stormtrooper, but you can also be a rebel fighter. You can also be a clone trooper. You also be a droid. And so that's really interesting and really fun to play through. And there's kind of an interesting storyline there as well in the campaign between episode 6 and 7, kind of covering an interesting viewpoint from a former Imperial officer with her trying to deal with, oh my gosh, the Empire's dead. What do I do now? So that's kind of interesting. Cool. That's a controversial game. Nerdy gamers will know why, but a really fun one. And I think you can get it for fairly cheap right now. That's for newer consoles. And a third one, which isn't technically canon, but I have to mention anytime I mention anything to do with Star Wars, is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. It came out a while ago. I believe it was in the early 2000s, 2000, 2001, something like that. Really, really interesting game about the Jedi Order 10,000 years before the movie series. Big time jump back. What the Jedi Order looks like, what the Sith look like that far back. Really interesting storyline, really cool backstories on what the Jedi used to be like, and kind of interesting perspectives on that, as well as some really cool gameplay. Again, if you're a nerdy gamer like me, some really cool gameplay, some really cool, like, I want to be a Jedi, and this is the kind of Jedi I want to be. And so there's some really cool stuff in there, some really interesting stuff about the Jedi Order that you don't really get in too many other places. For instance, like the reason why Jedi have certain lightsaber colors is explained in the Knights of the Old Republic, and then is actually becomes canon later on. So that little tidbit about why some Jedi have blue lightsabers, some have green, some have purple, like Mace Windu, is covered in that and actually has carried through to the new canon. So that's a really interesting one. Technically not canon anymore, but that I have to recommend because it's really, really cool. Gives you the opportunity to become dark side, light side, make some cool choices, relate to some cool characters. It's really, really cool. So if you're like me and you're running out of patience for waiting for Rise of Skywalker and you need to get as much Star Wars in you as possible before then, those are kind of the things that I would recommend between TV, books, games, whatever is your style. There's something out there Star Wars for you.
Awesome. Well, hopefully that was enough for everybody out there listening.
I'm hoping so. If it's not, I don't know what you're doing.
Someone has some sort of recommendation there. So thanks so much for joining us again, Joe.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey. We'll see you next week.